Amen. I appreciate you. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate the opportunity to be here again at Bowling Springs. Looking out there, I kind of feel like a lion in a room full of Daniels. Amen. But I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. The Lord's been good to us. We've had good preaching, haven't we? I'll tell you right now, it's been wonderful. Every message has certainly been wonderful. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hey, how much time I got? Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to, I'm sure that these verses have been used a number of times. As one fella said, I am digging where other men have dug. And certainly I trust that the Lord help us. Just a few months ago, I had the privilege of going to South Dakota and visit up there with Brother Ken Trivett on the Indian Reservation. And what a thrill that was. We got there we had to stay in Nebraska and rented a car. We had to drive from there to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And them roads down there are different than up here. And got turned around, pulled in behind this little store-looking building. Wasn't nobody at the front door, so I went around to the back door. And a lady came to the door, Indian lady. I said, ma'am, I said, can you tell me the quickest way to get to Pine Ridge Baptist Church? Without missing a beat, she said, are you walking or driving? I said, I'm driving. She said, well, that's the fastest way to get there. Amen. And if you want to know the quickest way to get there is through driving. Amen. I'm just picking at you. Amen. Good to see some of you laughing. Amen. Bible says a merry heart doth good like medicine. It do some of you good to go out and you laugh a while. Amen. It'll help you. Amen. I like to laugh. Billy Kelly said, you better laugh all you can, because there's going to be enough days when you ain't going to be able to do that. And I appreciate that so much. I appreciate the good message from Brother Bob. Wasn't that wonderful on separation? I got a real good friend, Brother Tom Gillum. He preached for us the other Sunday. I love him. And he's a dear man of God. He made this statement. I don't know if it was at Taylorsville or where I heard him made it. He's talking about separation. He said, to love Jesus with all your heart and do what you want to do. Think about that. Because if you love him with all your heart, there are just some things you ain't going to do. I thought that was really good. I wish I'd have thought of it, but I didn't. Amen. Why don't you look just for a few minutes in Hebrews chapter 10 and I trust that God will help us. Hebrews. Now, if you're looking for something deep, you won't get it, I promise you. I am top water all the way, amen. I like bass fishing. I like top water fishing. And we're top water preacher, amen. So if you're looking for something deep, you should have got it when Bob was preaching, because you ain't going to get it when I'm preaching. I promise you that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, Bible says, by the which will we're sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expect till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Father, we thank you this day for the privilege of being here in this pulpit. Lord, I don't take it lightly. There's some great men of God out there, Lord, that I'm preaching to. And Lord, certainly they do a much better job than I'd ever do. But Lord, I pray, God, that for a little while you'll help us, Lord. God, that we be a help and a blessing, Lord, to these that are here. God, we sure do need your touch. Lord, may Christ be exalted. May Christ be magnified. in all that's done and said, and we'll certainly praise you. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen and amen. I want to look just a few minutes at these verses and maybe another verse or two in this chapter. And I want to preach this morning on the sufficiency of the cross. I want to ask you this morning, was the cross sufficient? What Jesus did, was that sufficient? Do we need to put in something else other than what Christ has already done for us? We have those that feel like they need to add water to what Christ has done. And there are those that feel like they must add wafers to what Christ has done. There are those that feel like that they've got to add works to what Christ has done. But may I remind you this morning that what Christ did there on that cross, my friend, we do not need to add anything to what our Savior has done. He paid the price for your sins and for my sins. There's always been skeptics. You know that. Matter of fact, Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? There are those that will not believe. I'm just going to tell you that. Amen. And I'm glad that God helped me one day. As a lost sinner, He put a want to in my heart that I never had before. I'd been dating my wife now, girlfriend then, for 6 months. She kept me in church. I told her I was saved. I wasn't saved. I was lying to her. Where she'd date me, she wouldn't date nobody unless they were saved. And I kept telling her I was saved. And I'd go to church. She'd carry me to good churches. And I'd hear the message. And I can't explain all that. But I do know I left the church a lot of times with the attitude, I don't want to. I don't want to. But oh, what a blessed day that was when the Holy Ghost came. My friend, where I was at, settled down in my heart, and I'm glad He gave me a want to. I tell you, you got to realize this morning that sinners are not walking around looking for God. No, they love darkness rather than light. But aren't you glad there's a God in heaven, my friend, that looks and finds folks like you and I, my friend, this morning. And I'm glad that Christ, what He did there on the cross, was sufficient for my sins. And hallelujah, it is sufficient for your sins this morning. Let me give you three or four things this morning, and then I'll be gone. How do you know? How do you know that the cross was sufficient this morning? May I say, first of all, I know it's sufficient because the sacrifice that'll never be repeated. Bible says, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. An offering once for all. Offered one sacrifice. This simply means that He'll never have to go to Calvary again. One time He stretched out His hands and received those nails. One time He was crowned with that crown of thorns. One time He was speared in that side. One time He was spit on that face. One time He carried that old rugged cross up Golgotha's hill. I say one time He hung there between heaven and earth, and once on Calvary, the greatest sacrifice that was ever given. I'm glad today that I can sing that old song that says that they'll never crucify Him again. I'm glad, my friend, that He made one trip for your sins and one trip for my sins there on the old rugged cross. I say bless His name this morning. Sacrifice, the sacrifice that'll never be repeated. Eternity itself will require no more than the Son of God accomplished there at Calvary. Has it ever thought? Have you ever thought about it? I never thought about it. Till I thought about it. Do you know the word Calvary is not in the Bible but one time? That's because there won't be another. Just one Calvary. One sacrifice. Amen. One death. Amen. One payment for our sins. I'm telling you today. See, that Levitical priesthood did not lack for priests, but it did lack for effectiveness. All the priests together could not make an effective sacrifice for sin. But sin has been finally and fully been dealt with. God Himself is offering an eternity, my friend, of the basis of the finished work of the Lamb of God today. I'll tell you, one of these days, you may disagree with this, but it really don't matter to me. You're going to realize when you get to heaven how little you had with getting there. Certainly it was not by our efforts. Oh, my Lord, this morning. But I'm glad we'll bow before Him. And He'll get all the glory and all the honor.
Yes, He will.
Because of grace.
Amen.
That's how we got there.
Right.
All of grace is my story.
Yes.
I'm glad grace came to where I was at. I'm glad grace revealed truth to me. I tell you, I'm lost and done without God in this world. I'm telling you, I was up here in sin, but I'm glad one day the grace of God, my friend, came by where I was at, offered me life that I never had before. I say, bless His name today. There's a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice that will never be repeated this morning. If you look in the Bible at, you know all about this stuff, about the earthly priest. If you read verses 1 through 4 of this chapter, you'll just see what the earthly priest could and could not accomplish. The earthly priest, that sacrifice that he offered, could never take away sin. If a doctor can only offer you some medicine to alleviate your illness, but not remove it, you'll be back there in his office. Surgery after surgery, time and time again. See, this priest had a never-ending stream of sinners. He had a never-ending stream of sacrifices. He had a never-ending stream of blood, because those sacrifices could never take away sin. His work, my friend, was never complete. If it was possible to collect all the blood from all the sacrifices, from all the sheep and lamb and turtle doves, if it were possible, my friend, to collect all that blood, you'd have an ocean of blood. You'd have a river of blood. But you'd have a river of blood that could never take away sin. I'm glad, my friend, that there was a blood shed one day. Have you ever thought about this? Why would God ordain the ineffectual way of a sacrifice? Why would God allow all those sacrifices to happen in the Old Testament? That happened. I think, my friend, the reason He allowed it shows the helplessness of the sinner. See, sin can only be dealt with if God deals with it. No doubt they may have walked away from the high priest with the thought I still have a conscience of sin. I still feel guilty. Is there anything else that I can do? I'm telling you, we cannot deal with our sins doing our best. The sacrifice of reputation shows us not only the helplessness of the sinner, but it shows us the seriousness of sin. See, you know as well as I do that sin and death are inseparable. All the time the sinners were bringing their animals to the high priest to be offered to God as a blood sacrifice. They knew that sin and death had been married together and no one could put it asunder. They knew that the wages of sin is death. I'm telling you, I'll not deal with it. But the world thinks that death will cure your problems and solve your sin problem. Certainly it will not. If you die unrepentant, my friend, that's how you'll live in eternity unrepentant. If you die filthy, that's how you'll live in eternity filthy. Death will not handle, cannot solve the problem of sin. There's an earthly priest, but of course there's an eternal priest. It tells us that his work is finished and sufficient. Have you ever thought about it? He's not doing anything else in order to provide salvation for the sinner. It's kind of like coming home from a hard day's work. My dad used to do construction work. And he walked to work. We didn't have a car for a long time. And many times I've seen him walk 3 or 4 or 5 miles from where he was working at back to the house. And he'd get to the house and he'd make a statement like, I just hadn't sat down all day long. And Daddy gets in his easy chair. You know, that's a good sign that his work is complete. Do you know that Christ was our substitution? Do you realize, my friend, that he now is seated there at the right hand of God the Father? Do you realize, my friend, that Christ did that which the animals could never do? Here's an animal being led to the altar. You say to the animal, animal, where are you going? He cannot answer you. What is your purpose, Mr. Animal? And there is no reply. See, he offered a perfect body, but he offered no consenting mind and will. But Jesus stands where they could never stand, with a will consenting to be identified with the sinners, with a mind voluntarily undertaking the load of sin, of your sin and my sin. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your sins in his body on the cross. Once for all, one writer said it like this. At the cross, the sins of the world were distilled. The eternities were compressed. Jesus, being infinite, would bear in a finite period of time what we, being finite, would bear in an infinite period of time. What that writer's trying to say is when Christ went to the cross, he suffered an eternity of hell there on the cross for you and for me. I'm telling you, the price that Jesus paid this morning, only the sinner in hell can begin to know, but hold it. They will only know what their sins cost. They only know to suffer for their sins. But oh, may I say to you, my friend, that Christ suffered for all sin. He died for everybody. I'm telling you this morning, my friend, that Christ took your sins and my sins. That's the reason we can sing that song. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. See, in Gethsemane, you see all these pictures in Gethsemane. Jesus looked like he's got makeup on, really, in these pictures, kneeling at a rock. And I'm telling you, that's not the way it was in Gethsemane. Bible says that he fell on the ground. Have you ever thought about, no doubt his face was matted with blood? Have you ever thought about they'd already beat him? Have you ever thought about all of that? And Christ now is kneeling there, fell right there in that dirt with that blood all over his face. I don't know if this is right analogy or not, but I like it. Do you know what we are representative of in the Bible? We are dirt. You're welcome. And Christ laid down there in dirt. I'm telling you, God took on our DNA, that one day we might take on his DNA. He suffered for sinners like you and for me. I know he could have called 10, 12 legions of angels. You know, one legion is 6,000. 12 legions is 72,000 angels. I read one time in the Old Testament where one angel took care of 185,000. If he'd have turned loose that 72,000, they could have took care of over 13 billion people, which wasn't that many on the earth at that time, not there either. But what I'm trying to say is, that Christ, my friend, willingly went to the cross for your sins. There's a sacrifice that'll never be repeated. I'll just do two of them. Number one. Number two. It's not only a sacrifice that'll never be repeated, but notice there are the sins that'll never be remembered. The Bible says, and their sins, in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hey, no matter from what angle you view the word sins, and no matter how you add up the subtotal of sins, not one has been left out. Not one, my friend, has been omitted. I'm talking about the sins of this congregation. I'm talking about the sins of this country. I'm talking about the sins of this world. All sin. Christ paid for all sin. He said, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. See, in that cup was a pollution of our sins and your sins. But not only when he consumed that cup, it contained the pollution of our sins. And I've already mentioned it contained the punishment of our sins. I know we could say more about that. But I'm glad this morning that Christ did what you and I could never do. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, Paul said, in the book of Colossians, Paul said that he took our sins and nailed them to the cross. Do you realize what one writer said about that? He said that, and I read it somewhere, but he said that if I borrowed money from this dear brother, I owed him a debt, and maybe I paid a little bit here and a little bit there, and finally the debt was paid, I was reading and they said that the man that I owed the money would take my contract of what I owed and nail it on my door of where I lived at. And I'd get up that next morning and I would see that there was a paper on my desk, and that paper was signifying that my debt was paid. My debt was paid. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I want to tell you, my friend, there at the Calvary, hold on to that, young man, and you hold on to that and that, if you will, and hang on to that. I'm out of paper towels, but I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ went to that cross, hey, he took your sins and 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 your sins, and he took our sins and he nailed our sins to the cross. I say bless his name today. I'm glad my sins are gone. Christ paid for my sins. Sins that'll never be remembered. All we could preach on. You read on, you find out there's a supplication that'll never be restricted. Because of his blood, it can enter into his presence. Read on, you find out the serpent will never be restored. He's a defeated foe this morning. You read on, you find out there's a satisfaction that'll never be refused. If God's not satisfied with Calvary, then Calvary achieved nothing. If Calvary has not touched the wrath of God, Christ wasted his time on the cross and was still under condemnation. But I'd just like to tell you this morning, I believe with all my heart at the cross, it was sufficient. And I bless him and thank you.